verses 1 to 4, says this: "Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." May God bless that portion of Scripture to us this morning. Before I get to two torn, just like to give you a little bit of background, got to do with Colossians. Colossians, we know, is a letter written by Paul. It was written in his first missionary journey. He was in prison when he wrote the letter. And he was in prison for approximately about 2 years under house arrest. And the background to the letter is that Paul had a friend, a fellow servant in sharing the gospel. His name was Epaphras. And he was the founder of the church in Colossae. Colossae was a town in Asia Minor, which is kind of modern-day Turkey. And so this man, Epaphras, he founded a church. And what happened was the church was growing, and it began to have some issues with false teaching. And so this kind of rose up within the church, and Epaphras didn't know what to do, so he decided, I'm going to go and visit my friend Paul, because I need some support and some help with this particular issue of false teaching within the church. And so he goes and visits Paul, and he tells Paul about the false teachers in the church, and they were teaching about kind of angel worship and ceremonial food, rules and regulations, and all of this kind of stuff, and it was becoming a problem. And then that leads Paul, who was in prison, to write this letter to the church. And so that's the background. And the whole purpose of the letter of Colossians was to refute or to come against the false teaching that was rising up within the church of the Colossians. And so if you've ever wondered why, what's Colossians all about? What's that particular letter in the New Testament about? It's all about refuting false teaching. Now, obviously, as you come through chapters 1 and chapters 2, you come to chapters 3, and this is the first four verses of chapter 3. And when I read those during the week, my mind thinks in a bizarre way. When you read those verses, you see lots of things in those verses. The first thing that I seen in those verses was the number 2. Now, I'm not talking about verse 2. What I'm on about is that Paul mentions 2 things, or a variety of 2 things. And what you'll notice is that in those first 4 verses, he mentions 2 people. And the 2 people that he mentions is God and Christ Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. And so there's 2 people in heaven. One of them is God, sitting on the throne, if you can think in your mind and build a picture. And right beside God, the Father, is Jesus. And he's seated at the right hand. And the right hand is a place of power. So that's where Jesus is seated. So if you've ever thought about Jesus and you've ever thought about God, the both of them are seated in heaven. And Paul mentions these 2 people in these verses. The other 2 things that he mentions is the 2 extremes, which is life and death. He says you've been raised to life. And then another little bit of the verse, he says you died. And we both know that in the journey of life and in the journey of faith and in the kingdom of God, these are the 2 extremes. There is life and there is death. And so there you have another 2. First is 2 people, now you have 2 extremes. And as I began to think about this, I realized that in Scripture and in the Bible, you'll find that things are grouped in 2s. Have you ever noticed that? Right at the beginning, you have God and you have the devil. You have day and you have night. You have light and you have darkness. You have love. You have hope. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he sent them out in twos. And even in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says two is better than one. Because if one falls down, you have the other one to pick them up. And you'll often find that in Scripture, things are done in twos. Even when Jesus was crucified upon Calvary, how many other people were crucified with him on either side? Another two. One on the right side, one on the left side. Making three in total. But when I read this little portion of Scripture, I seen two. But the two that I want you to focus on is the two that Paul mentions regarding the two area of a human being. And he says this, set your heart on things above and set your mind on things above. And so the first one is your heart and the second one is your mind. And Paul mentions this in these verses. He says there's two areas of a person's life that he calls the Colossian church to set upon in heaven. He says, set your heart on things above and set your mind on things above. And that's your heart and your mind. Two areas of your being, two areas of who you are. If you were to set your heart towards heaven and if you were to set your mind towards heaven, basically all of you, of who you are, is towards heaven. Because wherever your heart is and wherever your mind is, that's where you are. Because your heart and your mind, when they're together in one place, you are there. And so when Paul is writing to the church, he says these words, set your heart on things above and set your mind on things above. What is the above? The above is heaven. He says, set your mind in a heavenly place. Think about heavenly things. Set your heart towards heaven because that's where Jesus is seated. So if your heart is towards heaven and your mind is towards heaven, your whole direction of your being is focused towards heaven. Notice that these two things, your heart and your mind, are to be in one place, which is the above. And the above is heaven. And if there is above, there is also a below. And if there is heaven, there is earth. And so what he's saying here in these verses is to the church in Colossae, he says, set your heart and your mind towards heaven, towards Jesus. Let him be your focus. Let him be your direction. Be a person where your heart and your mind is in heaven, where you have decided that that's who you are and that's the direction of your life and that's the direction in which you're going. Don't focus on earthly things. Focus on heavenly things. And what is it to set? I was thinking about that during the week. What is it to set? I was thinking, if I set my watch. If you've ever set the hands of your watch or the hands of a clock, you set them in time, don't you? You set them at the right time. If you set your hands on your watch at the right time and you set your hands of your watch at the right time and the two of you agree to meet down in Tesco at 2 o'clock this afternoon, at some point you're going to make your way there and at some point you're going to make your way there and the two of you will arrive at 2 o'clock in the same place because you are in synchronization together because both of you are working off the same timings. And so it is in heaven. That when you set your heart and you set your mind, when you make that decision that you are going to be a person whose heart and whose life and whose mind and whose whole being is given over to God, you've made that decision. That means that you're going to be in synchronization with heaven regarding your life. So the things that are going on in heaven regarding your life, you're going to be in synchronization with that because you've given yourself over to God. You've given yourself over to heaven. You have said, I'm setting my heart and I'm setting my mind upon heavenly things. I'm making that decision that I'm no longer just going to concern myself with the earth and with the people or the places of earth. That's not going to consume me. But rather, I'm going to be a person who is making a decision to focus my being. My whole life is going to be focused on heaven, upon Jesus, because he is going to be the one who I'm looking to. And so when Paul writes to the church, this is what he says. This is the two. Number one is your heart. Number two is your mind. And they are to be in one place, which is in the above, which is where Jesus Christ resides. So the first thing is number two, which is your heart and your mind. Are they in one place, which is the above, in that heavenly place where you've decided, I'm going for heaven, I'm going to God, I'm going to give myself over to him completely. He's not just going to have a little piece of me, he's going to have all of me. Because once he has your heart, and once he has your mind, he has you completely given over to God. Torn. I'm getting mixed up in my words. Torn. To make that decision to give yourself completely to God, for some it's easy. You know, they've lived a life that they don't want to return to, and so they come to a place, they come to a zone in their own heart and their own mind, and they think to themselves, yeah, I'm going to give myself completely over to the Lord. I'm giving him my life. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to make him my shepherd, my guide. He's going to be my provider. I'm going to search for his will, which is the best for my life. I'm going to do that. I'm going to give myself completely to him. For some people, they do that and they do it easily. But for others, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. Have you ever heard the term sitting on the fence? I moved into a house down in Nurney there recently. And out my back garden, like your back garden, you probably have a fence that separates your house from the house next door. And if I was to get up onto the fence and sit on the fence, I'd have one leg in my garden and one leg in his garden. And at some point in time, he's going to come out and says, you need to get off the fence and get back into your own garden. And sometimes we use that terminology of sitting on the fence. And what we're saying is, when you're on the fence, you haven't made a decision. You're not too sure which way to go. And when you're on the fence, you're indecisive. If you can picture a fence and somebody sitting on it, maybe even yourself, and you've got heaven over this side, and the goodness of heaven and the blessing of heaven and the goodness of all heavenly things. And on this side, you've got the earth and its pleasures and its places. And it's almost like when you're sitting on the fence, you're thinking, I don't know which one to turn to. And when you're on that place and in that zone, you're torn. Because heaven is pulling you towards this way, but the earth is pulling you towards this way. And it's like, heaven has a grip of this hand and the earth has a grip of this hand, and they're pulling you from each side. And if you've ever experienced that, that's being torn between two places, torn between two people, torn between two lovers. Have you ever been torn? I remember a good few years ago when I lived in Wales and I'd been happy there. But every day, I went through this time, this season of my life, all I could think about was Ireland. All I could think about, I would go to work and I'd be thinking about Ireland, and I'd be coming home from work and my wife would be saying to you, what's up with you today? Are you okay? And I said, like, all I can think about is Ireland. And there was this season where I was torn on the inside, where I was living in one place, but I desired to be in another place. And if you've ever been torn between two places or torn about a particular issue, you will know that there is an anguish that takes place within and the inside in your heart, because there's one thing that is pulling you on this side and there's another thing that's pulling you on this side, and you're being torn between two. And it's very difficult and it's very painful when you're torn. Have you ever been torn? Torn between two people? Torn between two places? Torn between two opportunities, you don't know which one to take, and when you're on the fence and you're being torn, It's very difficult. And if somebody was to live in that zone where they don't make a decision, they just want to live in that zone where, yeah, I'm on the fence. I haven't made a decision, but and I'm being torn. I'm experiencing the pain of being torn. And if they were just to stay in that zone, stay in that mode of life, probably what that would kind of grow into is kind of leading a double life. A double life is where you have one area of your life for this stuff, and the other part of your life is for this stuff. It's like having a foot in both camps. That's what a double life is that when you have a double life, you live one area of your life to this people, and over here you have another area of your life to this people. And I remember, you might have seen this, there's a film called Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Brad Pitt and his wife Angelina Jolie, they starred in this Hollywood film, and the both of them live double lives. And the whole concept of the film is that he's a spy, and she's a spy, and the both of them marry together, but both of them don't know that each one is a spy. And so on the outside, he comes home from work and she makes him his dinner, and everything looks rosy in the garden. They're living this lovely, happy, married life. But unbeknownst to each other, both of them are spies. And both of them are spies for the opposite organization. And it turns out that the whole film is that his mission is to kill his wife, and her mission is to kill her husband. And it all ends in this big battle. But the whole thing is based on a double life. And when I read these verses, when I think about Paul writing to the church in Colossae, he says, set your heart and your mind on things above. Make that decision where you give yourself over to God. Make that decision where you've come to the place in your life where you've said, that's it. I'm aligning myself with heaven. I'm giving my heart, I'm giving my mind, I'm giving everything that I am over to Jesus. He's going to be my source. He's going to be my provider. He's going to be everything that I need him to be. He's going to be my Savior, my Lord, my friend, all of those things. But I'm making the decision to set my heart and my mind towards heaven. I'm giving myself over to him. But if you live in a place where you're on the fence, then what you'll experience is being torn. Torn between two places, torn between the above and the below, torn between heaven and earth. And so, what's the answer to all of this? Well, the answer is to turn. That's the answer. If you've ever been torn about a particular issue, then the answer is to turn away from one towards the other. And so it is. In this particular story, in this particular church, in these particular lives, is that if anyone is experiencing being torn between two places or two people or torn on the inside, the answer is to turn. Because if you turn yourself over, if you turn towards heaven, what you're doing is you're turning your back upon the earth and upon the pleasures and upon everything that's trying to pull you down. And so anyone who has ever turned will tell you that they'd have never regretted it. Anyone who's ever turned their life over to the Lord will tell you, here, look, it was a good decision, it was a big decision, but it's the best decision I've ever made in my life. And so the answer to not being torn is to turn your heart over to the Lord, is to turn your mind over to the Lord, is basically to turn everything that you are over to the Lord. No one wants to be torn. Have you ever experienced being torn? Torn on the inside, torn in your heart, and you're not too sure what to do or what direction to go. And if you're torn between not knowing what to do, and you feel like you're on the fence about a particular situation or a particular decision, or if you're not too sure whether you want to turn your life over to God, and you or you've never really done that before, today is that day where God is calling you to turn. He's asking you to turn your heart and your mind and your life over to Him. Because if you turn it over to Him, He says, I know the plans that I have for you. The plans that are to prosper you, not to harm you, to save you, to bless you, to be with you all the days of your life. And if you turn your heart and your mind over to Him, you won't be torn in that area again, because you will make a decision. And that's what Paul was trying to say to the church. He says, set your heart on things above. Set your mind. To set is to make a decision. And so this morning, even now, as we come towards the end of the message, it's that time where you've got to make a decision. You've got to make a decision between you and the Lord, between you and God. And God, I think, is saying to you, you need to turn yourself over to Me. It's time for you to turn your heart and your mind and your body and everything that your life consists of, turn it over to Me. Hand it over. Set it in heaven. Set it in the kingdom of God, rather than being in this place where you're torn between two. You're being pulled by one and being held by the other. Turn it over to God. Turn it over to the Lord. I don't think that God wants anyone to be torn. Jesus wasn't torn. He handed His life over to the Lord. And so this morning, even now as we close in prayer, Lord, as You're here with us this morning, we say to You, Lord, we set our hearts towards You. We make a decision in our minds that we are giving ourselves to You. And if you're here this morning and you've already done that, maybe you want to recommit your life to Him. Or maybe it's the first time that you're doing this. All you've got to say is, Lord, I give my life to You. Lord, I'm giving my life, everything that I am, I'm handing myself over to You. I am making a conscious decision to turn away from what I know is bad or evil or dark. And I'm turning towards You, Jesus, You who lives in the beauty of the light of heaven. I am turning towards You so that I won't be torn in my heart. I won't be torn between heaven and earth. I am going to be a person who lives on earth, but where my heart is resident towards heaven. And so this morning you can make that decision if you want to. You can say, I'm giving myself to You, Lord Jesus. Lord, as we all are here in Your presence this morning, we ask, Lord, that You would take that which has been committed to You in prayer. We ask that which we have given to You, that You would keep it and cherish it and bless it. And we ask for You to watch over us, Lord. And so this morning, Lord, even in the simplicity of the two, our heart and mind, that we don't want to be torn, and so therefore we're turning towards You and we're giving You all that we are and all that is within us. All of these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord.